Okay, we had some strange turn of events this week. If you remember last week, we talked about doing away with the vehicle inspection. At the beginning of this week, what occurred, that the sponsor of the bill, Senator Griesheimer out of the St. Louis metropolitan area, had a bill that was relating to the emissions checking that they have to do in the St. Louis area. Well, last week, amendment was added on to do away with the vehicle safety inspections that we all have to do every 2 years. The beginning of this week, the bill was brought back up, it was reconsidered, and that amendment was removed. And that's kind of strange for that to happen, but occasionally that it does. In turn, I turned back around and offered an amendment to put it back on. So we had about 2.5 hours of very heated debate on vehicle safety inspections, whether it should be done or not. It really turned out to be a rural-urban vote. Almost. There was one or two people from the urban areas that voted for it. It came down to a very close vote of 15 to 14, which passed. We have third read the bill, and we are sending it over to the House. The sponsor of the bill has vowed that he will probably do everything he can to remove that amendment. And I have kind of vowed that I will do everything that I can to keep the amendment on. I think that our vehicle safety inspections are not needed anymore. I think the cars are being built so much better that they can run 150,000-200,000 miles and still be pretty safe. On the other side, if you're only getting them inspected every 2 years, even a couple of months after you get one inspected, you could have some major difficulty. I think it's a hassle for the consumer. I think it's something good that if we can get rid of the vehicle safety inspections. Probably at this time, it's probably a flip of the coin whether it's going to happen, but I'm going to keep working on it to see that if we can actually get that to occur. In the Senate this week, we also approved legislation making several changes in our highway safety regulations, and that was Senate Bill 872. It increases the fines on various offenses that occur within the highway work and the construction zones. Also creates a crime of endangerment of a highway worker. It stiffens the penalties against motorists who fail to move over when approaching an emergency vehicle that is stopped or has a car stopped along the side of the road. We have passed legislation in the past that makes it illegal to not pull over when possible. As an example, when a highway patrolman has someone stopped, I don't think everyone knows that because I see it occur on the highway some that people don't pull over. But we've had a couple highway patrolmen killed within the last year because of that, and we need to stiffen the penalties and make people more aware that whenever possible, they must pull over into the passing lane to get around any emergency vehicle that is stopped. Also imposes an additional fine and possible driving suspension on any person who fails to yield the right-of-way when violations result in physical injury or death. So in other words, if somebody doesn't pull over and they hit somebody and injures them or kills them, could actually have even an additional fine and driving suspension if that should occur. A couple of small bills, we call them consent bills, that I passed this week, third read and finally passed out of the Senate on the way to the House. One of them deals with towns of 500 or fewer people. In a lot of these small towns, it's getting to be very difficult to find people to run for the Board of Aldermen in different wards. Obviously, when you have a very, very small town, the wards are pretty small, and they just really have to beg someone to be able to run for the alderman. This would allow them to elect their alderman at large in towns of 500 or fewer. I think when you have a very small town like that, that you're not going to probably get into fights over what street is fixed first or not. And this isn't mandatory. If they want to do it, they're allowed to do it, and it gives the procedures on how they can do it. Another bill that I passed this week on the Senate floor, third read and send it over to the House, is a bill dealing with used car dealers. A lot of our regulations in the last several years has even gotten stiffer, and a little more difficult to understand if you're selling used cars. So this bill requires that anyone getting into the used car business for the first time, requesting a license, must go through a training course. This training course has been prepared by the Auto Dealers Association. They have worked with the Department of Revenue. They've worked with the Highway Patrol to make sure that this is correct, and also on some federal level. It tells them and teaches them how to fill out the paperwork, how to obey the regulations, so that everyone gets a quick turnaround on the paperwork. A lot of times the paperwork isn't filled out correctly. Department of Revenue doesn't accept the paperwork. They have to send it back. So if you would buy a used car from a dealer, you know, it could be a long time before you ever get your title back in the mail. Again, this is only for people that's just entering into the used car business. It does not apply to anyone that's already licensed to sell used cars. It doesn't apply to new car dealers, nor does it apply to anyone that is leasing vehicles. The Judiciary Committee this week heard a bill that offers restitution to Missourians who have been wrongfully imprisoned. This is Senate Bill 1023. I think that we've all probably read in the newspapers over the last year or two about periodically they find someone that has been declared innocent because of some DNA testings. Some pretty severe crimes that they were either given life imprisonment or many, many years. And these people then were found that they were innocent. This bill will give them up to $50 a day for each day that they were incarcerated after their conviction. Now, I know that's not a lot of money, but you know, if you have been in prison for, I think as one example, over 10 years, $50 a day can mount up to quite a little bit of money. You know, I believe these people do need some restitution. I think this will help give them a good start. It's one of those that we have got out of committee. It hasn't been to the Senate floor yet. I'm sure that there will probably be some amendments. There will probably be some discussion where this money comes from. I think there's been some proposals to maybe increase some of the court costs to help pay for that. I'm not sure that would raise enough money, but this is probably something that we need to work on. We also passed out of my Commerce, Energy, and Environment Committee that I chair this week a bill that allows the addition of cell phones and fax numbers to the no-call list. This is something that I know that a lot of people have signed up for the no-call list on their home phone, but I, for one, am starting to get a few calls on my cell phone from telemarketers. This will just allow people to be able to put their cell phones, also their fax numbers, on that list. We are also making it a crime for selling of some of your cell phone records. I think we have heard about and possibly read about in the past that there are some internet sites out there that offers to sell other people's cell phone records. As a matter of fact, it happened to one of the senators. Someone was just trying to prove to them that it could be done, and it was very easy. Of course, the people getting the cell phones records, they have to go in and lie about who they are to get the records. This is something we've got to crack down on. This is absolutely wrong, and it's intolerable. So we've had a very good week this week. We're anxious to come back next week and get started. We've got a couple weeks before spring break. Then things are really starting to intensify in the Missouri Senate.